Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 40, and that is on page 79 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. It must have been very hard for Jesus riding into Jerusalem in what seems like a rapturous parade of well-wishers, hearing the cheers and seeing the cloak spread out on the road in front of him, feeling the brush of the palm branches as people waved them. It must have been hard because he knew that the people cheering for him in this moment wouldn't be cheering for long. Soon enough, they'd turn on him, shouting for his crucifixion. This adoration, these shouts of Hosanna, they'd be absent, silent, a few days later when Jesus was arrested and tried and condemned. Reading this passage makes me think back to the time just after Jesus was baptized, when God affirmed him as his beloved son. You'll recall that at that point, Jesus was led into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of that time, Jesus had persevered, countering all of Satan's suggestions with Scripture. He had affirmed his absolute obedience to his Father, God. We're told that Satan left Jesus then until an opportune time. I can't help thinking what an opportune time this would have been for Satan to return. The next few days are just packed with possibilities. Was Jesus tempted by his personal popularity in this moment of celebration and rejoicing? Why not turn aside and be the fighting Messiah, the one who would lead the rebellion against Rome? That was the Messiah everyone expected. That was the Messiah everyone seemed to want. How tempting for Jesus to stay with his disciples for just a few more years. They still seem to have trouble understanding what he's teaching them. How will they possibly be able to do what he expects of them later if they can't understand now? Was Jesus tempted to continue to try to persuade the temple authorities and the Pharisees that he was truly the Messiah? Jesus and Jerusalem, God's son and God's city, they were made for each other, weren't they? Surely the priests and the Pharisees would come around sooner or later. Was Jesus tempted to avoid the pain that lay ahead? He felt what we feel, remember? The pain of betrayal, trial, humiliation, public rejection, the pain of beating and lashing. Was he tempted to avoid death, especially death on a cross? Did Satan whisper into his ear that such a death would mean failure rather than mission accomplished? There could have been temptation for Jesus in all of these things. We also face temptation. There will be opportune times for us to hear that whisper. We'll hear it when we consider how much we should give to church and charity. We'll hear it when we've been volunteering a lot and we're tired. We'll hear it when important people, politicians, celebrities, scientists, other leaders imply or even insist that there is no God. Many people in our country no longer practice a faith, and they often seem suspicious of people who do. We'll be tempted not to call attention to our faith because we don't want them to be suspicious of us. Most tempting of all is to turn from God in anger or disappointment when we don't receive the answers we've hoped for in our most fervent prayers. There are so many things and so many people we're tempted to put our faith in. We probably have more choices than any other group of people who've ever lived. That makes it easy to forget the one who is our single most important choice. The crowds that cheered Jesus turned their backs on him for a lot of reasons, but mostly because he didn't seem to be the answer to their prayers. He wasn't the Messiah they were expecting. And they wanted what they were expecting more than they wanted God's actual son. Fortunately for them, and fortunately for us, Jesus was determined to do what the crowd was asking when they shouted, "Hosanna." Save us, that word means. Lord, deliver us. We still pray that today. Lord, deliver us from sickness, from death, from what we've done, and from what other people have done to us. That was exactly what Jesus was determined to do all along. Save us. We are blessed. Jesus rode into Jerusalem and he died there on the cross. Because of his sacrifice, we are redeemed. We have a power to resist temptation that we didn't have before. We have a Savior to turn to who is always present and listening, who will walk us through any trial. We have a wise teacher who will give us guidance in any situation. And best of all, we have someone who will greet us with rejoicing when our lives here are through, who will usher us into eternal life in heaven. God's saving power is strong, It's been 2,000 years since Jesus sacrificed himself for us. After all that time, has God's power weakened or dissipated? I don't think so. I see it often, don't you? I see it here at work in your lives and in the work God does through your efforts, with your cooperation and time and resources. I see it outside in our community also. Lynn Cohen and I went to a coffee last week to hear about a pen pal ministry sponsored by St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Litchfield Park. One of their deacons started a worship service at the Perryville prison several years ago. At first, only a couple of people came. They said they eventually figured out that no one knew what an Episcopian was. But over the past several years, it has grown into several services. Now they work both inside the prison and outside with women who were being released back into the community. They've just purchased and opened a halfway house in partnership with several other Episcopal churches and with Red Mountain United Methodist Church in Mesa. Our card ministry, our Perryville card ministry, is in partnership with their efforts, and a group of our members sent almost 200 Easter cards to inmates this past Friday. In his sermon at his hometown synagogue, Jesus proclaimed that the Lord had anointed him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. Jesus is still determined to do this, tackling poverty and oppression and blindness of every kind. Being in relationship with Jesus brings us healing and helps us to see the world the way he does. During these last few days of Lent, here at the beginning of Holy Week, let's reflect on our relationship with God in terms of Jesus' words. Where might he want us to proclaim his word, and to whom? What captivity and oppression might we need to be freed from? Where might we help to free others? Might there be times when we suffer from spiritual blindness? What can we do to improve our vision? How might we more perfectly follow Jesus' example of perfect love? We know that the crowds that greeted Jesus on his way into Jerusalem were fickle, that a few days later they were shouting for his crucifixion. Let's pray that we instead will accept his guidance in all we do, that we will follow him as disciples every day, that we will show his care to the people around us and praise him for our salvation. He gave his best for us, and he deserves our very best in return. Amen.